Thanks for listening to the Best of Herd Podcast. Be sure to catch us live every weekday from 12 to 3 Eastern, 9 to noon Pacific on Fox Sports Radio and FS1. Find your local station for the Herd at foxsportsradio.com or stream us live every day on the iHeartRadio app by searching Herd.
This is the Best of the Herd with Colin Cowherd on Fox Sports Radio.
Oh, we are loaded. It's a Monday. We are live in Los Angeles. This show is called The Herd. Wherever you may be and however you may be listening, we're on Fox Sports Radio and right here on FS1, 1 hour from now, where Colin was right, where Colin was wrong. We got a great World Series. We got great Monday Night Football tonight. We had a crazy Sunday Night Football game. Tom Brady is back. Bold. Joy Taylor is joining me. This is such a crazy weekend. Crazy. I had so much fun watching that game last night.
The whole weekend was wild.
Nuts.
The big UFC fight.
This morning, my wife texts me. She goes, what's going on with football? She was like, crazy.
The early window of games was insane.
Insane. So I want to start with this. You know how general managers will sign quarterbacks early? And sometimes, like, Carson Wentz is injured and stuff, and you're like, why are they doing that? The reason they do that is because quarterbacks now are so important. You just, once you find one and you think he's the right person, you sign him, you hope you get a little bit of a financial break over the next 5 or 6 years. This league is all about quarterbacks. 7 games in, Tom Brady has transformed the Buccaneers franchise. Bill Belichick, have you watched New England? Belichick, the smartest football coach ever, has won 43% of the games in his career when he didn't have Tom Brady starting. Pete Carroll fired twice, 14-18 in Seattle pre-Russell Wilson. Mike McCarthy, Favre and Rodgers looked like one thing. Seen Dallas this year? We talk about strategy. You know the difference between Facebook and MySpace? It ain't strategy. It's Mark Zuckerberg. Okay, that's your strategy. Stop talking about strategy. Tom Brady in 7 weeks has changed the franchise. Now you got guys like Gronk is retired. Suddenly Gronk's like, you know, maybe I can play another couple years. Antonio Brown had his choice. I'll go play with Tom. That's the power of Tom, the power of LeBron. It's what legends do. And look at arrogant New England. New England, remember that article a couple years ago? One of the assistants said, we can win with a lot of quarterbacks here. Well, you got Cam, and it ain't working. In this divorce, one has remarried and is flourishing, and New England is living in a van down by the river. Andy Reid went from can't win the big game to the leader of the next dynasty, thanks to Patrick Mahomes. John Harbaugh was going to get run out of Baltimore. Then something called Lamar Jackson happened. I like strategy. I like data. I can be a football nerd. It's about the dude. It's about Brady. Belichick's won 43% of his games. He's as smart as anybody that ever been in this league. And it's when you get a LeBron or you get a Brady, it's not just about their game. I mean, Jameis Winston, big, strong kid, beautiful arm, throws to the wrong team too much, but he's got all sorts of talent. It is about accountability. It's about leadership. It is about holding teammates to a standard that the organization's never had before. Think about this. It was 2 weeks ago. New England goes on the road and is awful against Chicago. 11 penalties. Brady is yelling at everybody. And what do you hear in Tampa? Tom's mean. Back-to-back games. No turnovers. No sacks allowed. 4 penalties in 2 games. That's called accountability. It's not about talent. Jameis had talent. Brady, LeBron hold you accountable. I like Frank Vogel. I like Ty Lue. But LeBron's made those dudes a lot of money and given them a lot of fans. It's not about strategy with LeBron. It's not about strategy with Tom Brady. It's about coming into the room and changing the temperature of it. You hold everybody accountable and your leadership and your efficiency. It is unbelievable to watch Tampa. And by the way, you knew it wasn't going to be easy. There's no preseason. Tom's getting older. We knew it wasn't going to be easy. New system, new coach. But this is not a Bruce Arians story. The Bruce Arians book has been written. No risk it, no biscuit. Throw the ball down the field. Be aggressive. Really loose. Tampa still all those things. They got rid of the loose. because they got Tom Brady, and he's totally accountable. He holds everybody accountable. Meanwhile, in New England this morning, here's the questions their coach is being asked.
Bill, do you plan on having Cam Newton as your quarterback going forward?
Yeah, absolutely. Just wanted to give Stitt a little experience here.
Yeah. It's not about experience. It's not about strategy. I like Andy Reid. I think Pete Carroll and Belichick, first ballot Hall of Famers. But Mike McCarthy, watch the Cowboys today. This is why franchises sign quarterbacks early, even ones with injuries. I mean, are you watching the Chargers and Justin Herbert? They're going to sign him early. Guarantee it. They're going to sign him 2 years early. Joe Burrow in Cincinnati. Kyler Murray in Arizona. Sign him early. Get a discount. So hard to find the right guy. And when you do, and Tampa did, it just took them, you know, 50 years of their franchise to find a quarterback. They changed the temperature of the franchise in 7 games. Tampa this morning is the best team in the NFL. All right, I'm from the Pacific Northwest. Proud for years and years to be a Husky and Seahawk fan. And last couple years, Joy has seen me. Just, can we let Russell Wilson take over the team a little bit? Can we let Russ? And so there's a saying in Seattle called, let Russ cook. And I love the saying, let Russ cook. But we didn't ask that he runs the whole damn restaurant. He needs a little help as he's cooking. Could you have a prep cook? Could you have a general manager? Could you have some waiters? Could you have somebody washing the dishes? Yeah, I know he threw 3 interceptions last night. But unfortunately, he has no help. They can't cover anybody. No pass rush. Myles Garrett has 9 sacks this year. The Seattle Seahawks team has 9 sacks. The leader of the Seahawks in sacks is Jamal Adams. He's not only a safety, he's only played 3 games. They can't guard anybody. They can't cover. They can't get pressure. They're giving up 6.3 yards a play. You want to know the other two teams that are close to that? Atlanta, 1-6, and Jacksonville, 1-6. Seattle should be 1-5. Do you know how bad the Dallas defense is? I mean, we're all like acknowledging how bad it is. Oh, Seattle's given up more yards in one less game. We want Russ to cook, but the cook, even if he's a 5-star chef, needs a little help. There's a reason that Russell Wilson throws some picks. And one was really bad. It should be noted his really bad one did not result in any Arizona points because DK Metcalf is not human. The point being, if you watch what is happening right now in Kansas City with Mahomes, yesterday, last week, they ask Mahomes 5, 6, 7 times a game, go be special. In Seattle, they asked Russell Wilson to be special the minute he leaves the team hotel to get on the bus, and then they ask him in overtime to make more great plays. There's a difference between let Russ cook and force Russ to run the entire restaurant. They have got to make a move. This is, I mean, he's everything. That's why I don't understand when Pete Carroll got conservative in regulation. You trust this defense? And by the way, Russell Wilson in Seattle is becoming James Harden with the Houston Rockets. It can be mesmerizing, historic. It is fascinating. But there's a reason that James Harden is out of gas by the first round every year. And you're going to run Russell Wilson absolutely into the ground with this football team. He needs help. Something. Anything. Tyler Lockett, who, again, came out of college as sort of a gadget guy. Thank God that works. I mean, cross your fingers, and those two are unbelievable. But if you look at how Patrick Mahomes and Lamar Jackson are sort of allowed to grow, Jared Goff, you'll watch that tonight. You're asked to be special a half dozen times. You're not asked to be special the minute you get off the bus, even after the game. Russell Wilson is willing to take all the heat for the entire franchise.
And I thought we played a great game except for those 3 plays. I mean, honestly, and those are my fault. So, you know, there's so much that we can do, and we have so much confidence. Our confidence is not going to waver. They're a great football team, too. And we knew it was going to be a battle. It always is down here and whenever we play. So, you know, nothing really changes except for the fact that We just have to tighten up some things. I have to be better.
Total pro. That's what you do. Sense that, you know, things could unravel here, which they very easily could. Just say it again. Seattle allows 6.3 yards a play. Two other teams in the league are close to that. They're both awful. Atlanta with Matt Ryan. I like Matt Ryan. When his defense is bad, they're 1-6. You know, Russell's 5-1. Jags, Gardner Minshew. We thought he was something special. They allow 6 yards of play. Yeah, they're 1-6 too. So now, Kyler Murray, for the record, he doesn't have a ton of support either. Without Chandler Jones, he made one terrible interception. Both these guys did. It was a mirror image, right? But again, you're asking Kyler Murray to save the franchise. So I thought what you saw with the present and what you saw perhaps with the future of the league is you can ask Kyler and Russell to be special 7-8 times, and they're worth $35-40 million a year if they are. But if you become the Rockets and you're asking Harden to play 38 minutes and score 47 points, it doesn't work. You're going to run these guys into the ground. And by the way, Tom Brady last week against Green Bay, they won in a rout. Brady threw for 166 yards. Make about 4 big throws. He did. You got to allow your quarterback to breathe a little off the bus.
Be sure to catch live editions of The Herd weekdays at noon Eastern, 9 a.m. Pacific on Fox Sports Radio, FS1, and the iHeartRadio app.
I was watching Arizona last night. And you know why Arizona is so much fun to watch? Because Arizona did something that's very, very hard for successful men. I'll speak for men here. Successful men have a hard time going, ha, I made a huge mistake. The reason Arizona is so much fun to watch is because Steve Keim, the general manager, went, you know, I hired Steve Wilks after a year. It ain't working. And I got Josh Rosen. Well, that's not working. And he just owned it. He just owned it. I talked to him. He just owned it. He's like, hey, Kyler Murray, I'm watching the tape. That's better than what I got. And I'm going to roll the dice with Cliff Kingsbury because the league is changing. And if he doesn't own up to the mistake, it's Josh Rosen, Steve Wilks. They're 1-15. They're not working. You got to own it. Dallas has to own it. Jerry Jones, Netflix and Amazon don't even resemble the companies they initially were. They don't even resemble it. Why? No, that doesn't work. That doesn't work. That doesn't work. That doesn't work. It's because Reed Hastings, Jeff Bezos, they may have egos, but they're not big enough to get in the way of acknowledging something's not working. Successful people all over America make mistakes. Own it. Mike McCarthy's a bad hire. It's a bad hire. You whiffed. Move on. I mean, Andy Dalton gets crushed yesterday. Not a single Cowboy player goes over and confronts the guy with the cheap shot, John Bostic. I'm not talking about fist fights here, but you got to protect your quarterback. I mean, in the NFL, it's unspoken. Like, if somebody does this to your quarterback, you got to go after Bostic and confront him. The Cowboys are not a team. They're just 55 guys wearing the same shirt. Nobody's there to confront Bostic, say anything. Only one Cowboy went over to help Andy Dalton. And spare me on this whole, you know, Dallas, it'll take time. It's a new system. Oh, baloney. Carolina's got Matt Rule. He's got a new quarterback. He's a college coach. He'd never been an NFL coach. I watched Carolina yesterday. I've watched Carolina 4 times this year. They're competitive. Ron Rivera's battling cancer. Washington's competitive. I mean, I'm watching Stefanski in Cleveland. 5-2, they're more than competitive. This is the same roster. It's the same offensive system. They kept the coordinator, right? Kellen Moore. They kept him. It's the same roster. It's the same players. So you have got to acknowledge if you're Jerry Jones. And I know it's hard, but go look at how much fun Arizona is to watch. Because the general manager and the owner, and they talked about it last night during the game, just said, hey, we may have made a mistake here. We hired a coordinator, made him a coach. He wasn't ready. And we drafted a college quarterback. He's okay. We'd like to build on him. But, oh, my gosh, there's this kid on tape at Oklahoma who's way better. You just have to own it. It's okay. You know, go hire Ryan Day at Ohio State, Urban Meyer, Lincoln Riley. But, I mean, Microsoft years ago created a device called Zune. Remember Zune? Most of yes. You don't. It bombed. Okay, Zune was going to replace the iPod, right? You know what Zune is now for Microsoft? Because Bill Gates acknowledged it didn't work. It's a good laugh. It's a write-off. And it doesn't define Microsoft. Because they're like, yeah, We were competing against Apple, and Apple was doing other stuff, and we kind of whiffed on that. Boom, next thing. And that's why Microsoft is back better than ever, greater earnings than ever, stock price is up, although nothing's up today. The point being is it doesn't define them because they moved off it. And Arizona football today is fun and glorious and wild and crazy, and everybody loves it because they owned it. Dallas, own it. Jerry, own it. You whiffed. You hired a guy that was, I mean, first of all, he lied to you, said he watched all your games. Second of all, this analytic nonsense, that's not true. Like, just own it. Otherwise, you're going to be defined by this for like half a decade. You're going to be defined by what this is right now. Go back to being fun, progressive, smart. Go to the offensive side of the ball. Go to college like everybody else is doing.
Be sure to catch live editions of The Herd weekdays at noon Eastern, 9 a.m. Pacific.
So the media missed on this one, not a surprise. It's remarkable to me. If you just watch sports, if you watch the games, we know what people are. Stop trying to convince me of something that's not true. We know what Baker Mayfield is. In the NFL now, he's on his fourth coach. He's below average. He's one of the least talented quarterbacks in the league, except when he plays Cincinnati. If you look at his numbers against his entire career, 30 games against everybody not named the Bengals, he completes 61% of his throws and his passer rating's 83. Since he's been in the league, the Bengals' defense has sucked. It's terrible, and it's bad this year. Better than last year, but bad. We know what the Bengals are. They're bad. That's why they had the number one draft pick. When Baker plays the Bengals, he's amazing. 111 passer rating, 5-1. And every time he beats Cincinnati, we're like, oh, Baker. Did you watch last week against Pittsburgh? He was overwhelmed. Did you watch week one against Baltimore? He was overwhelmed. Stop trying to convince me what Baker is. He's not a bust, but he's darn close. He's not good, except against the Bengals. The story yesterday is Joe Burrow, who threw for 406 yards against Myles Garrett and that defensive front. Myles Garrett's the only guy in the league you can compare to Aaron Donald. He's it. You can't block Myles Garrett. He's the only thing in this league that looks like Aaron Donald. You can't block him. In two games this year, Burrow has been sacked 7 times by the Browns. Baker Mayfield in two games against Cincinnati's pass rush hasn't been sacked at all. Yes, the story is Joe Burrow, 7 games in the NFL, a bottom 4 offensive line, no Joe Mixon, no running game. One of his best receivers, also a rookie, no OTAs, no training camp, no preseason. The Bengals head coach, who knows if he can coach? Joe Burrow got into a gunfight and was sufficiently unarmed and almost pulled it off. You got to stop trying to convince me Baker's anything more than below average. That's what he is, except against Cincinnati. And in the time Baker's been in the league, Cincinnati's defense has been historically atrocious. So I'm not going to count the Bengal win and go, whoa. I'm going to go back 7 days to the Pittsburgh game and go, whoa. Or go back a month and a half to the Baltimore game with Baker and go, ugh. You are defined in this league not by wins. Who do you beat? Ben Roethlisberger's got a bunch of wins. He doesn't have enough over Brady. He doesn't have enough in February. That's where Brady's got wins. That's why Brady's the GOAT, because he wins in January and February. A lot of guys win in November and October. A lot of guys. Andy Reid won for years in September, October. He got Patrick Mahomes. Now he wins in February. And that defines you in this league. It's not about beating Cincinnati. So, and Burrow, you know, he went to the Tom Brady school of quarterbacking. After the loss, here's what he had to say.
You know, that's what I expect of myself. It's, you know, it's exciting, but, you know, I expect myself to do that every week. Ball in my hand at the end of the game, I'm comfortable and confident that I'm going to go down and make the play to win. Unfortunately, Baker was playing out of his mind and led that 2-minute drive after us.
Yeah. Yes, Baker is great against Cincinnati. He has been. For the record, virtually every quarterback looks great against Cincinnati. That is not news. It's not breaking. The idea, I mean, just say this out loud. If you live in Ohio, just say this out loud. Humiliated by the Steelers a week ago, Baker Mayfield went on to win narrowly against the Bengals. Does that sound like I'm supposed to be blown away? Or say this out loud. Working with a bottom 3 offensive line, a coach we don't know that's any good, with no running game, facing the second best defensive lineman in the NFL, Joe Burrow threw for 400 yards. Oh, by the way, no training camp, no preseason, no OTAs. Everybody got the story wrong. The story is, good Lord, between Justin Herbert of the Chargers, Kyler Murray of Arizona, and Joe Burrow yesterday, I don't care if they won. All I know is I watched those games. That is the future of the league. That, like, if you're the Chargers, you're the Bengals, Arizona, don't live in the moment. Don't live in the moment. Arizona's not winning the Super Bowl. Okay, Chargers aren't winning the Super Bowl. Bengals aren't making the playoffs. But you talk about talent. And I thought he'd be Tony Romo. He may end up being a lot better than Tony Romo, and Tony Romo will get Hall of Fame votes. Like, Burrow is a sensational talent, and he's really having an incredible, when you contextualize it and consider what he's dealing with, he is having an absolutely incredible rookie season. Blown away by Burrow.
Want more Herd? The Herd streams 24 hours a day, 7 days a week within the iHeartRadio app. Search Herd to listen live or on demand whenever you'd like.
We do it every Monday. Colin right, Colin wrong.
Where Colin was right?
Well, I said New England was the slowest offense in professional football, and they were going to be a 5-11 or a 6-10 team, and that is what they look like now. Listen, we can bang on Cam, and I will later, but they have no speed at tight end or wide receiver. They do not have an elite running back. Their best offensive lineman is a rookie. This is sort of the arrogance of, you know, Belichick takes over the draft in January. I got it from here. They have not drafted an offensive all-pro since Gronk. It's over a decade ago. They are not very good offensively. They are, and they don't know offense very well. Mohamed Sanu, they gave up a second-round pick. It didn't work. N'Keal Harry, it appears to be a bust. So, listen, this was always more Brady than Belichick. We know Bill's good, but this is why I kept saying you can be the smartest coach in the world. You've got to have speed. You've got to have playmakers. You don't think Michael Thomas makes Sean Payton a better coach? You don't think Travis Kelce and Mahomes don't make Andy Reid a better coach? This is the slowest football team in the National Football League. The only team in the NFL that scored less is the Jets. That says it all.
Where Colin was wrong.
Andy Dalton's not almost as good as Dak if you give him the weapons. Listen, the offensive line's in shambles, and Andy can't move. In Cincinnati, when he had two good tackles, he was a pretty good quarterback. They are a mess, and Andy's been a disaster. His passer rating is 58. And Dak's, well, we always knew Dak was better than Dalton, but Dak's ability to move the pocket and avoid pressure and take the hits especially, I like Dak, and it was undervalued. The gap between Dak and Dalton is substantial.
Where Colin was right?
Yes, Tom Brady can still play. What can't Tom Brady do? Lead? Is he still a good leader? Is he efficient? I don't get that his arm's dying. I think he makes all the throws. I never thought he was a great deep ball thrower. I never thought he was an athlete. This idea that Tom Brady can't play, it looks like Tom Brady to me. Now, I do think he was livelier. His arm was livelier first 10, 12 years of his career. And I do believe the last 5, 6 years that he gets tired in November and he loses something off his fastball. And there's certain throws he's not good at. But they're not asking him to make those throws. And if you give him great players, when I'm watching him play, he looks so much like Tom Brady 7 years ago to me. All the critics, I don't get it. He still does one thing brilliantly: lead. And for certain organizations, it's more than just throwing a football. Tampa's had talent for years. They didn't have this: the efficiency, the timeliness, the leadership, the accountability.
Where Colin was wrong.
I had the Steelers at 8-8. They're 6-0. They're not going into the tank. I will say this: top to bottom, it's probably the most well-constructed roster in the NFL. Even running back, where we look at him and think, I like James Conner. When James Conner's healthy, I like James Conner. They do everything well. Tight ends that can block, receivers can catch, a quarterback. In fact, if there's one thing that drives me nuts, it's Big Ben. That's my issue. Some of his throws drive me nuts. He threw up a jump ball yesterday late that was really a bad throw. But top to bottom, they're really good. Kevin Colbert, nobody knows what he looks like outside of Pittsburgh. He's one of the best football personnel guys in the NFL. They've got two good receivers, two capable backs, an excellent offensive line. The Minka Fitzpatrick trade was money. Their linebackers are unbelievable. I don't know. I'm sure there's a hole somewhere. I swear to God, sometimes I think the hole is Ben.
Where Colin was right.
Baker Mayfield's going to beat Cincinnati and everybody in Cleveland's going to go crazy. That's what I got this morning. Oh, my God, you're just a hater. Can we stop? Baker Mayfield owns the Bengals. Wait, the whole league does. Baker's growth is not about the Bengals. Baker's growth is, how does he look against the Steelers and Ravens? Two games this year? Awful. Once again, people are no longer honest. It is classic. Every time he beats the Bengals, this has happened like five times on this show. Everybody rushes in and tells me how great he is, and I keep saying, do you have to get through the Bengals to get to the playoffs? You got to get through the Steelers and the Ravens to get to the playoffs, and Baker's been terrible. People just aren't honest on Baker. He's not good. I was right. Own it. Take the Bengals out. He's a below-average quarterback. That's just what he is.
Where Colin was wrong.
I was ready to hand Cam Newton a contract extension. I'm going to pull that away for the time being. Now, again, he's not working with much, but mechanics aren't great. Accuracy is terrible. He's acknowledging it. It's just not good. He's really struggling. If you take out the Seattle game, and after that game, I'm like, whoa, we got ourselves something here. Let's be honest. Seattle's defense it's the worst in the league. It's worse than Dallas. You take that game out, he's got one touchdown, six picks. Again, it's accuracy problems, some easy throws, 12 yards away, way behind wide receiver. He's off. This is why there was not much of a market. And I think this morning, I'm not sure there's going to be a market with all these great young quarterbacks coming out of the draft.
Where Colin was right.
I always said Kyler Murray, and this is not a huge, reach. Kyler Murray is Russell Wilson. He's the closest thing we have. Yesterday, their stats are identical. Russell Wilson went 33 of 50. Kyler went 34 of 48. Russell Wilson ran for 84 yards. Kyler ran for 70. Russell threw for 388. Kyler threw for 360. Russell threw three touchdowns. Kyler threw three touchdowns. And by the way, both teams are totally reliant on the quarterback to make great plays. That's why both quarterbacks occasionally have really bad interceptions. But I still contend that Kyler does not get picked, at least early, without Russell Wilson. They're just, how much fun are they to watch? And again, if you ask quarterbacks to throw for 400 yards, you're going to get bad throws. Kyler had a terrible pick. Russell had a terrible pick. That's life if you're asking a guy to throw 48 times.
Where Colin was wrong.
Yeah, I whiffed on Denver. It does not appear Drew Locke and Denver are going to be a challenger to anybody. They're not even interesting now. Listen, they've had injuries, but I don't want to hear about injuries. Everybody's losing players. We had no preseason. We've had more injuries than ever. They are affecting the betting lines. But, I mean, Patrick Mahomes barely sweat yesterday. Patrick Mahomes was 15 of 23, and they still scored 43 points. The defense isn't good. I understood the Vic Fangio hire. Everybody in the league was going one way. They went defense, and I think Fangio's a good defensive coach. Drew Locke has struggled. He was 21 of 40 with a couple of picks. Been a little banged up, but they've got talent, but they don't have the right juice leading it.
Where Colin was right.
Everybody wants 8 teams, 16 teams in a college football playoff. Did you watch Alabama this weekend? Did you watch Ohio State? Did you watch Clemson? Ohio State dropped 52 on Nebraska and didn't even play well in the first half. We don't need 8 teams in a college football playoff. I'm not sure we need 4. I think we need 3. One of them gets a bye. Ohio State, Clemson, and Alabama are so much better than everybody else. There isn't a 4th best program. Georgia's good but never wins the big game. Auburn's talented but inconsistent. LSU now is no good. Michigan, Oklahoma, Notre Dame, eye roll. Everybody wants to add to the playoff system. And my takeaway is, you're watching these games. There's 3 college programs that don't even look like anybody else. The players don't even look the same. They're just NFL factories. Ohio State played poorly. for the first half and won 52-17.
Be sure to catch live editions of The Herd weekdays at noon Eastern, 9 a.m. Pacific on Fox Sports Radio, FS1, and the iHeartRadio app.
Trent Dilfer played in the NFL for a decade and a half, and he's got a Super Bowl and a Pro Bowl, and now he's coaching Lipscomb Academy in Nashville, Tennessee. They had their biggest win as a program ever. I'll get to that in a second. He joins us now live. I want to start with last night because it's so I just love where the league is going. I love Herbert. I love Kyler. We got three kids coming out of college next year. But I do wonder, I worry about this, is I watch Russell Wilson, and I'm like, okay, it's one thing to ask your quarterback to be magical seven times a game. It's another to ask him at the team hotel, are you ready for 4 hours of being the life preserver? And I watch Russell Wilson, and I'm like, Trent, they don't have a pass rush. I wonder if there's going to be a burnout here. Are they asking too much of Russell Wilson?
Well, you're not going to get the most out of him. You're going to, when you ask them to put the Superman cape on that often, and you're right, it should be 7 to 12 times a game, go be the best player in the league, save us from something, but not 37 times a game. And when you put that type of burden on him, you're going to get more careless mistakes. You're going to have worse bounces of the ball. You're going to get him out of his rhythm. I like what Schlereau said earlier. Let him simmer. He doesn't have to cook all the time. Let him simmer most of the game and then let him cook over a heated grill 7 to 12 times a game. They're asking him to do way too much. This defense has to get fixed. It's not a Super Bowl team right now, even though he's the best player in the league and they're explosive offensively. You win championships by having three great phases of football. You can have a lead dog. Your offense can be your lead dog, but those other two phases have to be complementary to it. And right now, this defense doesn't give him a chance to finish the race, and you're going to get more mistakes from a guy that typically doesn't make a lot of mistakes.
So I said when Cliff Kingsbury got hired, I said alma maters never want to fire their own. And Cliff's alma mater fired him, and I'm like, boy, if you can't win at college or alma mater, can he win in the NFL? Well, they've won 7 of 10. He's certainly working with Kyler Murray. I mean, it's, I don't know. I mean, the college to the pro thing, Matt Rhule. When you look at Arizona, mirage, or do you buy into it?
Buy into it because he's changed. Cliff Kingsbury calls offense very differently in the NFL than he did in college. Notice last night the jumbo packages, the multiple personnel groupings, the multiple formations, different protection schemes, play action pass. And this is not his air raid that he ran in college. He has grown immensely as an offensive coach. They've adapted to NFL-style football, and they have a magical quarterback, a guy that can make a lot of things go. So I really appreciate the fact that he came in as an expert in the air raid, an expert in throwing the football, an expert in what he had done, and has grown to become an expert in other stuff too. And then that's really the story of the NFL game right now, both offensively and defensively, is it's evolving weekly. And if you're not willing to evolve weekly from an X and O standpoint, you're going to get left behind. And Cliff has done that.
You know, I don't want to nitpick because so much of what Pittsburgh does, it's such a well-constructed roster. I'm not going to nitpick. But I will say this. I've seen them be talented and good before, but they lost to the details of New England or the details of Peyton. And we know Andy Reid's a detail freak. And I watch them, and boy, they let Philadelphia hang around and Houston hang around. And Tennessee was really cooked at half. It's they're so alpha. They're so aggressive. They're so male. And there's so much to like about them as a football fan. But, man, sometimes when I watch Pittsburgh, why is everybody kind of hang around games they dominate? What do you see?
They haven't been able to really finish off a game with their offensive line and a two-back set or multiple tight ends and just tell you we're going to run the ball and run it down your throat for a while now. And they're not, they're going to let teams hang around as long as they're playing open late in the game. They got to be able to get big and play big and short in the second half of games. They're highly explosive offensively. I think they might be the best team in football or on the list of top three teams in football. However, they're going to run up against a team where they're going to have a – let's say it's a two-point lead with Kansas City with 4.5 left in the go. Do you really want to give the ball back to Patrick Mahomes? They got to get bigger, better at the end of games and end the game in big packages telling the other team, hey, here it comes. Here comes Connor. Here comes a back coming downhill on you. We're good enough to tell you what we're going to do and do it.
I don't like firing coaches. I never advocate for it, but I do think you can make mistakes. I think Arizona with Steve Wilkes just said, hey, he's a coordinator. We rushed it. It doesn't work. And now nobody, it doesn't define Arizona. That nobody's talking about that. I watch Dallas. When I see Andy Dalton get knocked out, nobody confronts Bostic. One Cowboy comes over. I think, oh, wow, this is irreparable. This is not a team. This is just guys wearing the same color jersey. What do you do in Dallas? How do you not let this year define you?
I think it is going to define them. I think it's an organization that lacks passion right now. If I were to find one word that McCarthy lacks and this team lacks is passion. Who's the fire breather in the organization? It's Dak Prescott. He's the only one, and he's hurt right now. You need fire breathers. Last time I checked, football was really hard. It hurts. It's long. It's lonely. It's not fun all the time. And you guys have a ton of passion, a ton of energy. They breathe fire when they step into the office. They breathe fire on game days. It's who they are. And they elevate the level of everybody else because they have so much passion. I can't think of one Cowboy coach or player that has that type of passion. You go around the league, you look at the teams are winning, and you're immediately going to go, oh, yeah, that's this guy for that team. That's that guy for that team. Can't find one for the Cowboys. What happened yesterday was simply a bunch of guys that lack passion. So when they see an egregious thing happen on the field, they don't have the fire inside their bellies. It's not who they are to then go defend their teammate that's been cheap shot on the ground. I think it starts from the top. I think Mike McCarthy's always been a very academic head coach. He's always been a big thinker. But if you look at the end of his Green Bay years, go back and look at their lack of passion. His last couple of years in Green Bay, it's what we talked about all the time. The team had no fire. Football's not just about Willies and Joes and talent and salaries and big plays and highlights and all that stuff. It's a hard game. It's a hard game at every level, coach and player, auxiliary staff. And you better have people that are gritty and passionate to get you through the tough times. And right now the Cowboys don't have it.
Are you even a little surprised that how it's pretty quick? He's had two tough outings, but Brady's development, rookie guys, new guys. Are you surprised at all by how kind of quickly it's synced up?
I'm not, because he's the ultimate fire breather. I mean, Tom Brady elevates. We talked about last week. This is elevate your team. He elevates your entire organization, your entire city. There's nobody like him. And I don't think you can properly articulate the impact he has until he's there in your organization, in your system. He's going to demand excellence every second of every day. And if you don't join him, you're going to be out of there. You're not going to be playing much. And look what he's done to a Bruce Arians, who has forever been a risky head coach. His teams typically have a lot of penalties, a lot of turnovers, no turnovers two straight weeks, no sacks two straight weeks. Only four penalties for 20 yards this week. No penalties last week. I mean, he's changed the head coach. Nobody changes a culture like Tom Brady.
Yeah. Finally, we tend to bail on teams a little early. We get a little hot on Monday. I watch the 49ers. And I'm sorry, but, you know, Trent, is if you play that kind of physical football and run the football, it's hard to lose in this league. You're going to lose. But I watch them, and I'm like, I'm not so sure if Garoppolo's upright – that they can't get to a conference championship. I'm not so sure. Did we bail too quickly on the Niners?
Absolutely. Kyle does as good a job as anybody. They have great culture. I think that starts with John Lynch, too. I mean, and Jed York, the owner, he's got great culture in San Francisco. The players love being part of the organization. It's got great history. They do have passionate players. They do have fire breathers in their building. They're not going to flinch when adversity comes their way. And then running the football. It's never going to get old. It's never going to go out of style. It's never going to be anything but great, a great addition to your offense, and they run it as well as anybody.
Finally, you're the coach at Lipscomb Academy, head football coach, Nashville, Tennessee. We're friends. A couple years ago, you said, I want to change people's lives. I've had a great career. I've loved it. I've made money, blah, blah, blah. But I want to change people's lives, and you took over this academy, and it wasn't a very good they weren't great. And so you've done well. You've made them very formidable, and Friday was the biggest win in the history of the program probably, and you got a highlight from it.
Yeah, we started the opening. We got the ball, received the ball opening kick, took it 99 yards. Our best player, Alex Broom, who you'll be talking about, he'll play in the ACC or SEC. number 20s. You're seeing him run down the sideline with a little high five action. really was a neat way to start the night. I can't say enough of good things about our community, our football team, our program. The biggest thing I'll say is we have great kids. We have great coaches and great kids. They're going to go change the world. They may not do it in football, but they're going to make this world a better place to live. And that's really how we're using football. It's a human development program. Mass is a high school football team, and they're doing them both really well right now.
Yeah, every coach I know says that. Every coach I know just loves their kids. They really do. You know, so often we're critical of the young generation. I don't know. The young kids I see are a lot smarter than I was. I'll tell you that. My kids are a lot smarter than I was. And what a great story for you and Lipscomb in Nashville, Tennessee, a great city. Good seeing you, bud.